Good morning, church. Very intimate situation right here. We're very small, and I'm really glad to be able to come and share God's word. Let us pray. Lord God, I want to thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you that we can come together to hear your word. And Lord, as the message you placed on my heart this week, as I try to wrestle the text and wrestle what you want to share with us today, I just pray that it's not my words, Lord, it's your words. And Lord, I just know that we come from a broken world, a lot of distractions. If anyone here is coming with those distractions, I pray you cast them away so we can focus on you, Lord. Ask Jesus' name, amen. Every 4 years, we do something very important. Every 4 years, we hear a lot of political stuff on the internet, on Facebook, on the radio. We hear sometimes a lot of mudslinging. We hear a lot of comments about various government officials. And we always have to make that big choice. Who do we elect? How do we interact with the government? And it's something that I think we, as Christ followers, we struggle with. What is our stance towards the government or toward people in a position of authority? What about those who hold sort of, or let me just be blunt, hostile views about our faith and our way of life and how we interact with the world? And that's exactly what was happening in today's passage that Grace read. There were Christians in the Roman Empire and they were being persecuted. And Peter was trying to give them comfort. The only difference is the situation that they're in is much worse than what we deal with on a daily basis. You see, what happened was there's a guy named Nero, and he was the emperor, and he was on the throne, and he was immoral. He was corrupt and he was cruel. His taxes that he collected built pagan temples. There were gladiator games, and Christians were thrown into the arena for the amusement of all. They even funded those who persecuted the church. So again, what should our attitude be with the government? Now, when I ask you that question, I bet a million things pop in your mind. A million questions. But, what is our stance? What about governments who reward evil and punish good? Those are very important issues that we deal with. And Peter's main purpose is telling those Christians, and you know they had a very good reason to not like the government. In simple terms, Peter says, you need to submit and honor those who are in the government. Now, I know some of you probably, when I said that, you need to submit and honor to the government, probably you are feeling a bit disillusioned with what's happened in the government. You're probably thinking, why does Bill want us to support and honor the government? We're dealing with legalization of marijuana. We're dealing with same-sex marriage. We're dealing with abortion. These are all part of the government. And you probably came to church thinking, I really hope that I hear a message that give me a boost or give me some morale, give me some energy to focus on, to feed my negative views of the government. Give me something to work on. Well, I want to give you a challenge. I want you challenged to do something very simple. I want you to lift your eyes off yourself and from the problems you deal with the government right now and consider the millions of our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are dealing with these verses on a day-to-day basis. This is their daily concern. I bet none of you came here thinking about, am I going to get to church in one piece? Am I going to be hurt? In fact, how many think about, there might be a possibility I might not be going home after this service. That's what's happening in China, North Korea, Iran, Pakistan. Some of these Christians, our brothers and sisters in Christ, have been thrown in jail and prison camps. And the only reason why is because they're Christian. I don't think any of us here have a clue or to really relate or to feel what they faced on a daily basis. We only think of traffic and think about parking. What about these brothers and sisters in Christ? What do they think about? What do they deal with on a daily basis? Now, can you imagine they hearing this passage this morning? How would they feel? How they would wrestle with this passage if I was invited to preach in their church this morning? Would they say to me, Bill, get out of here. Do you know what we deal with daily? And I thought about this as I was preparing this message, as God was wrestling with my heart as I was writing this sermon. But I think this passage that we deal with this morning is just more than a lesson on how to deal with the government. I think it's a lesson on our biblical view. I think it's a lesson on the very center of our theological principles and how we interact with the world. I think it's about how our faith in Christ must radically change, really, really change, and change our perspectives and how we deal with the world. And that is what Peter is concerned about in the passage we heard this morning. I think Peter wants to challenge us to develop, even not just develop, but really change our thinking and to be consistent on what and who and God, how God has changed us and how God has interacted with us in our daily lives. We heard from last week, or last time I was on the pulpit, verse 9, and Peter tells us that we are chosen by God, we're holy priesthood, we're strangers and aliens in this world. And one of the contexts is, we are truly living in a foreign world. But this Sunday and the next Sunday, I'm going to tackle on some things that how do we as Christians interact with the broken world and how do we interact with non-believers? We cannot deny that we are a community. And because of its reality, we must live like with that reality. And this morning, Peter challenged us to submit. But what is it? What does it mean to submit? What does it mean to submit to the government? To submit means obedience. It means to respect and have good deeds. As Christians, we must obey the laws of the government. The good laws, the bad laws, the strange laws, and even allow me to be bold and say, the really stupid laws. And now you're probably thinking, what about this law? What about that law? And I know we can get into many great hypothetical situations of really bad laws. But guess what Peter tells us this morning? There are no exceptions. There's no exceptions. Peter reminds us in verse 13 that we must obey the emperor as the supreme authority. But submission. Submission means that the laws showing we must show great respect to government authorities. Now you're thinking, what about if that person who's been elected is, quote, a bad person? What do we do? Do we brush that person off? No. Peter challenged us to respect the office of that person elected. And there are many examples in Scripture. For example, in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel refused to obey the laws prohibiting prayer to Yahweh. Now, am I saying that we cannot criticize authorities? No. Am I saying that we cannot challenge the policies of the government? No. But it must be done with respect. And we need to understand, respect. Obedience, respect, and finally, submission. In verse 15, Peter's dealing with the civic good that we do. As Christians, we need to be good citizens. But most of all, we need to be law-abiding citizens. When Israel went into exile in Babylon, they became strangers and aliens in a foreign land. They were looking forward to being restored and returning to the promised land. But in Jeremiah chapter 29, the Lord reminded them. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for it is welfare you will find your welfare. We can see a direct line to what we're dealing with right now. Like the Israelites, we are living as strangers and aliens in a broken world. But does this stop us from living? No. We still build houses, we plant gardens, we raise our family, we seek and pray for the welfare of the city, we try to make our environment better, we have tried to build an honest business if we're business owners, we work to improve our schools, we help the poor and the weak, in essence, being good citizens. And when we do that, Peter reminds us that we will silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. We need to remember, Peter is addressing Christians who are in a much more hostile environment than what we deal with on a daily basis. We are going to be faced with critics of the faith. We are going to be faced with people who don't like the church. But we keep on living. And through our living, we become good witnesses. The word silence in the Greek means to muzzle. In essence, to shut them up. And that idea is repeated in verse 12. Through our witnessing, we should be able to get those who criticize us in our faith. There's nothing for them to criticize. To shut them up. Now, it all seems straightforward. No real surprises. But Peter challenged us to submit. I know we submit to the government, but we cannot and we cannot forget where our citizenship lies. In heaven, which means there's a limit to our submission. And Peter outlines this condition in verse 16. Peter's emphasis on submission is balanced by the reminder that Christians are free, but yet we are slaves too. Now, how can these two terms coexist? Don't they mean the opposite? Yes. But true freedom is the ability to choose what we really want to do. And for us, that is submission to Christ and to be his slaves. We are challenged to be the slave of Christ. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 6. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. We are free from sin, and yet we are not free to do whatever we want because we are slaves of Christ. Now, Peter is drawing from an Old Testament concept of slaves who are free to leave, but because they love their master so much, they want to stay. There's so much love and respect. And slaves are a very different concept as what we see in slaves in the 21st century. Slaves who surrendered to their master's love and will, and they were devoted to it. We are not simply volunteers signed up for an hour or two of our time. We are servants who are bound by our master and what matters to our master, which is Christ. Now you're thinking, what about this situation? What about this one? But I think Peter is very clear that the freedom that we have should be not used as a cover for evil, both in our actions and our words. Again, we don't represent the government. We represent Christ. When we submit to holy without through the lens of Christ, we don't become Christ's ambassadors. And that is the essence of the condition of our submission. Whatever we do in our thoughts and our words must pass through the lens of Christ. In Exodus, there's a story of Egyptian midwives who were commanded by Pharaoh to throw all the Israelites' babies thrown into the Nile. But they didn't do it, because they knew that they were murdering babies, and it was against God's laws. So they came up with a story to tell the Pharaoh that what was going on. Anytime Christians are commanded to do something that breaks the moral law, God's law, we must fear God more than the world and not to do that evil. That is the wider application when we deal with the government. Imagine this. All of us have either seen this or witnessed it or know by third hand. In the workplace, you probably knew someone who was fired because he or she refused to falsify a report or to cheat. So we don't submit to the government when commanded to do what God forbids. That is very difficult, and that's probably harder. We don't submit when forbidden to do what God commands. Peter, we read in Acts 5, was told by the government that he could not stop preaching. But no, in verse 29, Peter doesn't do it. He has to obey God. Now, the history of persecution of Christians, that is probably the most common thing. We are asked to stop worshiping. So what do? We stay at home and read the Bible? We have devotions and call it church? Or do we gather on the Lord's Day as God commands and perhaps suffer the consequences of our obedience. I think some of us, we take church attendance so lightly. At a threat of losing some little thing, it's easy to say, you know what, I'm too busy to come to church today. I'm too busy. I have so many things I have to do. And that is one of the sins of living in a first world country. We take a lot of simple things for granted. As we know from the news, the Lord's Day is very costly. Costly to many Christians around the world. In China, perhaps as many as 60 million Christians attend illegal churches. For them to actually worship and come together is a big step. It is actually dangerous, as we read of churches closing down. What about what happened in Sri Lanka? Those 260 Christians who passed away, they risked their lives to come and worship. And sometimes we come to church with excuse, or we don't come to church, or we don't come and we're on our phones. The very few things, the things that we take for granted, people die for in other countries. This message that we hear this morning is not just for Christians in Canada. It's for the Christians in America, in China, Iran, Cuba, everywhere. Why would the Lord give us such a clear and yet difficult command? And that brings to the heart of this morning's passage, our interactions with the government. And I know for a fact that Peter is not imagining for a moment that it's easy to hear these verses. Because Peter knows that the authorities will always and instantly not respect followers of Christ. When we come to faith, we are called to suffer greatly, to suffer unjustly, just like our Master Jesus. Peter gives us four imperatives for interactions in verse 17. We are to respect all people. Respect. What does respect mean? Respect doesn't mean that we agree with everything that government says and does. But we also have to understand that God has appointed the governments of the world. Jesus himself said to Pilate in John 19, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it has been given to you from above." Everyone we interact with, whether we like that person or dislike it, is creating God's image. A lot of times we don't realize that. The person that we don't like is creating God's image too. Peter also challenged us to love the family. Now the context is we must not forget to love each other. But as Christ's followers, we have an extra obligation to the Christian family members in our lives. We are Christians, and not by any other affiliation, just simply Christians. The believers of Peter's day needed to stand together as a united force against the coming persecution that they were dealing with. They needed to maintain the bond of love. Same with us in today's church. We've all been part of little petty things in the church. People not getting along. People saying hurtful words. People misunderstanding our intentions. And then we leave the church with anger or resentment. We stab people in the back. We talk behind people's backs. We are a church. We are a church family. Some of us are being persecuted. Why are we persecuting family members? When we fight and when we deal with problems and we don't know how to resolve it in a Christian way, we are persecuting our brothers and sisters in Christ, our family members. And yes, we're family. And yes, families do fight. But at the end, families must love one another and reconcile. There is no perfect church. But we have a hand in making it a better church. Also, Peter challenges us that we must always put God first in everything. The fear, honor, respect for God must be the center of everything we say and do. Now, while believers are to respect and love God as well, we also must fear God, because proper fear leads to obedience. We do not operate from fears of others. We need to operate from fear of God. And lastly, we must pray in respect to the emperor. Or let me put it in more contemporary terms. Honor our government leaders. The challenge is that we are not told to honor the emperor only. When the emperor acts honorably or righteously. If you're living in the times of 1 Peter, there's nothing very honorable or righteous about following Emperor Nero or any of the emperors that ruled over the Roman Empire in the next 400 years. But this is how we are to look different. This is how Christians shine. This is how we become the salt and light of the earth. It's easy to love those who love us. The challenge is loving those who don't love us. Now, we've heard this many times on the pulpit in Sunday school. It's easy to love the people that love us. It's more difficult to love the people that don't love us. Easy to say, hard to do. So where will we leave from here? Am I asking all of you to just blindly respect the government and submit? Sort of. But our submission must come from the God, from the lenses of God. And it's okay to disrespect. Not disrespect, but it's okay to challenge, but it has been a respectable way. Now, I know some of you don't want to vote. It's like, why do we want to vote? Nothing changes. But here's the thing. If we don't vote, in a sense, we don't have a voice. If we don't have a voice, I don't think we have a right to complain to the government. We have an election coming up soon. And usually I don't like to talk about politics, but here's the thing. If you truly don't respect the government and what they're doing, go and vote. Let's pray. Lord God, I know this passage is difficult for us as Christians because sometimes the government does things that we don't agree with. But Lord, you have commanded us to respect the government because it is created by you, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that for all of us here worshiping, that we really count our blessings. That we don't come here just because it's something they'll check off on our daily, weekly thing that we do, but actually embrace the truth that we are truly blessed to come here and worship. And our prayers and our thoughts are for those around the world who don't have that privilege. May you also comfort them. But also, Lord, I pray that you give them a sense of boldness to step out of their comfort zones . And also, Lord, I just pray that those who are affected, may you be close to them and comfort them. And especially those who've lost their lives because of the simple act of worship and coming to church. We ask Jesus' name, amen.